This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Welcome to the show, and thanks so much for tuning in. Earlier this week, we learned that this summer was the third warmest summer on record for the United States. The heat and the drought had an impact on a lot of things: energy prices, the livelihood of farmers, people's health, and more. But extreme weather and longer-term changes in climate have impacts that cross boundaries and affect the life cycles of plants and the animals that depend on them. The study of life cycles and the climate's impact on them is called phenology, and more than 100 of the world's leading phenologists are in Milwaukee this week for an international conference. Phenology 2012, Future Climate and the Living Earth, is hosted by UW-Milwaukee. UWM Distinguished Professor Mark Schwartz is the co-founder of the National Phenology Network USA, which enlists the help of citizen scientists in research. He and keynote speaker Stephen Runnings spoke with Susan Bentz this week, and Schwartz described the role of his field in studying ecosystems and climate.
Phenology has become recognized as one of the main ways that you can get easy access to the changes that are going on in the biological environment, and there are a lot of different ways to gather that data, and we're trying to principally move from thinking about this as something that you look at in one local area and just use the information for that area to something that we can aggregate up to the large scale and look at the continent and the globe. So when they talk about temperature changes and the changes in climate, we're now being able to say, and here's the direct impact of that on the biological community. And the issue is really that we don't even know very well how it's working in the current climate. So we're both trying to scramble to get to understand how it works now and the implications of how things might change in the future. So that's really a lot of what this is about. And the group that's getting together here comes at this from all different kinds of perspectives, from the perspective of ecologists, from the perspectives of climatologists like myself that are looking at large-scale weather features in connection with this, and people like Dr. Runnings, who are looking at this from the remote sensing using satellite data, but also looking at carbon flux and relating that to the plant changes. So phenology is an integrating measure that really ties together a whole bunch of different ways of looking at how the earth functions.
Is that because things are changing so quickly now with climate change that you have to catch up with not only what seems to be so quickly changing here, but getting a handle on it globally?
Well, we don't have this kind of information. You think about weather data. I like to use the analogy to that, of that 100 years ago they started to put weather stations out and they started to collect data in a few places, but they didn't really quite know what it was. In fact, it was all put together for very different purposes. It was, you know, to do local things. Like, they knew that if they needed to understand the harvest or how much yield they were going to get, they needed to do something about it. You know, that's why our weather service is in the Department of Commerce. It was all set up with that. But as that data was collected, which was just about weather, it was really understanding the short term. We collected this data that was long-term data that now, having 100 years of that, we're able to use to better understand large-scale functioning of the global climate system. In the case of these plant and animal events, traditionally, this was used in an agricultural context. It's been used for thousands, you know, since there was agriculture. People in the local areas understood that they needed some way to tie in the environmental changes to know when to plant their crops and things of that sort. So that's been the tradition. It wasn't a scientific discipline and looked at that way scientifically until, you know, a few people, actually Linnaeus did some things back in the 1700s, looking at this, but in the mid to late 1800s, and then really in the latter part of this century, there's been this recognition that if we want to understand changes on a large scale, we have to aggregate up information. And we can do that, say, with the satellite data that can see everything, but then we have to try to understand and interpret what the satellite information actually means, and that's where there's a great opportunity for this tie-in on what we're collecting on the ground. In fact, it's really necessary in order to really get the full advantage of what the satellite has to offer.
Dr. Runnings, would you talk about your work a bit?
Sure. What we start with is the principle that One of the phenological events that is most easily observed in an ecosystem is the greening up of the grass in the spring and bursting of the buds on the trees, and of course then the growing season through the summer, and then the senescence in the fall and all the fall colors. And what's neat is the public can see this, so they can get a first level of appreciation that something about the seasonal climate turns our ecosystems on in the spring and off in the fall. And so what we're trying to do is make that a more precise measurement, but basically really trying to follow that type of seasonal ecosystem events, but measure it carefully enough that we can compare it to last year and last decade and decades of the past. And so what is at first an easily observable phenomenon and something that the public is always curious about, and especially on odd years when the trees burst bud really early. I get all sorts of phone calls when it's really early or really late. They want to understand why that happened. And the more difficult part is exact measurement and then a consistent measurement over broad areas. And that's where the satellites come in. We have satellites that have been up since the year 2000 that we now have 12 years of global record every 8 days, and we can look anywhere on Earth at the greenness of that landscape. And so what we're with this conference, the number of people that work on this around the world are basically trading notes on methodology, because we really don't yet know how to do it rigorously enough for the kind of scientific purposes that, for example, when you see on the news about them mapping Arctic sea ice, which we see all the time. We're about to hit the all-time record low of Arctic sea ice probably in the next week. And that's something that can be mapped and monitored very accurately by satellite. Well, we're trying to learn to do that sort of accurate mapping of this kind of growing season phenology for vegetation worldwide.
Is there a sense of urgency that's building among researchers, among scientists, that this has to happen as soon as possible, that somehow, I don't know, and I wonder if this is doable, that you would have an international mechanism to sort of draw up or draw together all of this information? Is that doable, and is that what you're after?
Well, there's certainly a sense of urgency. For me, it first occurred to me about 20 years ago, and and now we're getting to the point where, I mean, in the late 1990s, phenology sort of became recognized, I could say, emerged among other people in the other branches of science that were looking at biological processes that, like, aha. And as Steve often says, everyone uses this. It's just that they didn't know what name to put on it, and they didn't think of it as a separate thing. But it's been something that has been evolved with all the things that we've been looking at. And this sense of urgency is really trying to figure out, well, there's a number of issues. In Europe, they have a lot of data that's been collected, but it's collected by each country individually, and they use different protocols, and they're trying to figure out how to all come and work together. We had sort of, ironically, the advantage of having nothing here, so we could start off. But on the other hand, there are countries like the Netherlands where they have a very nice network, but it's a very small country. So there's really not, in fact, they were telling me that for their purposes, they treat the whole country sometimes as just one point. In other words, they aggregate all the data together just in one spot. And in the United States, obviously, we have a large number of environments. We can't just say select a handful of species and say these are the ones to look at, because we have just such a diversity of environments. So we have a lot of challenges in that sense, because we're trying to monitor something and create products at the continental and global scale that people can recognize. So we've thought about the idea of, you know, there's this term used, the green wave, which is sort of the start of the growing season. And this has come from the satellite data, because you can readily see this in the satellite data, that there's this advance in the spring and then this the brown wave, or the brown up, well, let's see, they call it green up and brown down, you know, so how you think about that. And what we're trying to do is, how do we translate that into a measure that we can get from the ground, so that it isn't just something that is a nice movie that you can look at, but you can actually translate it into what's happening with an individual species, at least on the grounds. And so that's why we're trying to build the network, so that, for example, we're hoping in a few years with the data that we have to be able to look at the eastern U.S. and have some projection based on real data, but also using a model of when the red maple has bud burst, for example, all across that area. So people who are interested in that species, but also in trees in general, have some sense. And what I've talked about a lot with this is that we've never had data like that on this kind of scale. So it's sort of like, for the first time, I said, is it for the first time you looked at a forest and realized that it was made up of trees rather than just some kind of aggregate? Having that detail is going to open up a lot of valuable information.
When you step back to the kind of the biggest picture, that we know global change is occurring in multiple ways, we know how to monitor the atmosphere, weather stations that have been around for a long time. We know how to monitor the hydrosphere. We monitor stream and lakes very well. But the biosphere, we've never figured out a regular monitoring program so we can see what changes are occurring. And phenology turns out to be one of those looks at the biosphere that we think we have an opportunity to build a very clean and precise monitoring plan, and that is very visual. It's something that you can then engage the public into the bigger issue of global change and of how the climate controls quite directly the biosphere in a general sense, and bring them into an intellectual awareness that we're already measuring changes in parts of the Earth's climate system. We want to better monitor the biospheric changes. And as we get good at these measurements, there's no doubt global change is occurring. And some politician who wants to put their head in the sand, that's exactly what they're doing. And we got to call them out for that. Because we have delivered a tremendous amount of scientific evidence already, and there's more coming. And so we have to start with a foundation of understanding, though, that here's what the system's doing, and here is our explanation of why it's doing it. And then, really, the activity turns to a social question of what is humanity's response. And we can't get to that point until we first have the foundation that we're laying scientifically.
Stephen Running is the region's professor of forest ecology at the University of Montana and an expert on monitoring global ecosystems. Mark Schwartz is the distinguished professor of geography at UW-Milwaukee and the co-founder of the National Phenology Network USA. They spoke with WUWM's environmental reporter, Susan Betts. The Phenology 2012 Future Climate and the Living Earth Conference runs through today at the UWM School of Continuing Education. Well, it's almost officially fall, and that means the new art season is underway. We'll hear about some trends and things not to miss when Lake Effect returns right after this short break. You're listening to WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio.